All right. Good evening. How are we doing tonight? We doing all right? Doing good? Man. We are in week three of our dating series called Dating for a Lifetime, Not Just a Good Time, right? So tonight, I want to start out by asking just a quick poll question. When you were in school, I don't care what grade, was your favorite, I want to know what your favorite test type of test was, okay? How many of you preferred the short answer test where you could kind of work your way and make it sound like you know what you're talking about without really knowing the answer? Yes? All right. How many of y'all, like myself, love the multiple choice tests? There it is. There's my people. And why do we like this? Because we have a high, like at least a 25% chance of getting it right. Even if we know nothing, right? I mean, if it was true and false, even better, right? The percentages go up. But like the number, but can you imagine if you opened that test and for every question, there was roughly 500 options to pick from on a multiple choice test? All of a sudden, that 25% chance, you start to sweat a little bit more and you're like, oh no. Let me talk about another situation that I think we've all probably been at some point recently. You've shopped on Amazon. How many online shoppers exclusively do we have here? This is the generation, like you don't even leave the house. Groceries, whatever it is. Have you noticed though that the whole algorithm of online shopping has become this, I could lose an hour of my life like that very quickly. Because I look for something, that something pops up, but then at the bottom of the screen it says, other people who have searched for this have also looked at these items. And then you start thinking, maybe that's not what I want. And you start doing a deep dive into the comment sections, which can actually be very entertaining. But you start another option, another, I mean, God forbid you click on the wrong ad on Instagram and all of a sudden the algorithm now for the next month thinks that you want this particular product. But here's the thing. Options are great, but we live in a day where options just aren't available. Options are pushed on us. It's whether it's the dating apps or it's Amazon or it's just at Starbucks. There's a million options and customizations that we can add. And then when you think you make up your mind, all of a sudden you're like, oh wait, there, something popped up. There's another option. I'm gonna swipe, right? That's typically what we feel. I think when I talk to young adults about dating, this is the anxiety. It's like there's just options. I don't know what option there is, and all the options, they're not calling me. Like there's just this wide variety of insecurity, anxiety, and fear that come with all these options. And so here's what I want to do tonight. I want to just offer you some help from two perspectives. One is a biblical perspective. The principles of God's word that can help us wade through all the options. Because not every option's actually an option when it comes to dating, when it comes to marriage, when it comes to who in the world am I gonna ask God? Who in the world will I go out with? Well, who knows? Because as soon as you say yes to this person, like, well, what if I miss? What if I miss the real option, the better option? And even the relationship that you may be in starts to feel on unsolid ground because you're like, well, man, they're cute. They seem really nice. And all of a sudden, we get real insecure real fast, even when we think maybe, hey, this might work out. So I want to give you a biblical principles tonight on how to think about who you date. That's what I want to talk about. And then the second perspective is just simply experience. Both in my own life and my own marriage, but also watching other people, watching young adults date, get engaged and then get married. I've watched it. And so I've got some thoughts that I want to attach to some biblical principles that are rock solid as a term in terms of figuring out how do I even begin to think about this? Because here's the reality. There are many of us who probably spend more time shopping for thinking about what car you want to buy than we have actually spent thinking about who we want to spend the rest of our life with. I'm not saying we don't think about it. I'm saying, like, are we figuring out how we're going to get to the decision? what kind of car do you want? What do you need the car for? Where? How long do you want it to last? What accessories do you want in it? All those things, like we can do this. But I wanna stop and slow down for a minute, just from a standpoint of, have you ever thought through what are you truly actually looking for? If we were to ask you tonight, would you have 3, 4, 5 things like, this is what I'm looking for, boom, 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 boom. And why would you say those things? Are they just preferences, or are they foundational principles that are guiding your life, not just in this area of dating? Does that make sense? So that's what I wanna do tonight. Now here, every week I feel like I gotta give a little disclaimer. Here's the disclaimer this week, is that there is nuance in every situation. What I'm gonna share with you tonight is neither exhaustive, it's not even beginning to be an exhaustive list. But I wanna give you 5 things tonight. 5 things that help us change how we think about who to date. I could just get over here, here's who you should date. I mean, I probably think if I got to know you well, I think I could probably do a pretty good job of setting you up. If you come talk to me if you want me to do that, but I'm not promising anything. I've already told my kids, like, let me pick it out. Let me pick them out for you. But here's the thing. There is no foolproof way. There is no formula 1 + 2 = 3. There is no formula. We want to do that. We want to say, if I do this and I do this and I do this, it will result in this. And I can't stand up here tonight with integrity and say, that will happen. I don't know. What I can do is give you some guardrails to take the options from whatever they are to, let's bring it to here. Let's just narrow down to 3 or 4 things that we're looking for. And then we find somebody like, do they have those 3 or 4 things? Okay, so there is nuance. And when it comes to this, the whole idea of dating, dating is about 100 years old. It's a pretty new concept when it comes to humanity. It's pretty new. Beforehand, this is how we did it. Was we had parents get together and say, hey, your family's pretty great. Our family's pretty great. You would benefit our family from this. You would benefit from, so let's have our kids get married. That's how they would do it. They would do it in the living room of the house. The young man would come over to the girl's house and court her. And it was always in the living room of the other family. And so there was tons of eyes on it, a lot of input. There was a lot of safety involved in that process. Now, the way we do dating today that sounds oppressive to us. Let me do what I'm gonna do, it's my choice. I wanna pick out who I'm not saying anything wrong with it. That's just the American way we do it. So in the end, what dating has become is simply an evaluation process. That's really what we're doing. And we hope that there's feelings along with it, that somewhere along the line, we love them. But really what we're doing is we're evaluating someone else to say, hey, are we a match? Do we connect? Is there chemistry here? Do we like each other? Can we have fun together? All those things. It's really just at the core, just an evaluation process. So here's what I wanna do is I wanna give you these principles with that lens, that this is an evaluation process. And there's no guarantee that the evaluation will end up in a certain place. Remember last week, what did I talk about? When we can have what does God wanna do in my life through this mentality versus this has to work? You are going to be able to date with a lot more peace, and a lot more joy and happiness and just enjoy the process. One of my favorite stories is there was a young lady in our ministry. She'd been in ministry for like 6 years or so. And she finally met a guy and she had listened to all my dating talks. And you know, she would babysit our kids. And so she'd come over and we'd talk about it. And she was like, okay, we're doing this. She's going down the list of my messages that I've given. I'm like, man, okay, that man makes me feel good. But my wife and I, at one point, after like the third time she'd come over, because he was long distance, he was down in Texas, and we're hearing her talk through this. And at the end of the conversation, my wife and I just look at her like, do you like him? Are you having fun? Do you look forward to talking to him? But she was just going through the checklist. Is he a Christian? Is he serving? Like all the stuff. And we were like, but do you like him? that's okay to have an expectation that you're actually gonna have feelings for this person, okay? So we're not dating just for a good time. That is the whole point of this series. Like, you can get a date for the weekend. You can get somebody to go to the concert. You can do that, but that's not what we're trying to do as followers of Christ. We wanna date in a way that is honoring to one another, not just using one another for a weekend, for a date, for a wedding date, whatever it is, okay? So I think that's it. Here we go. I'm gonna go pretty fast because my so what, I wanna get into it a little bit. So we're gonna walk through this. I'm just bringing accountability to myself by saying that out loud. All right, so number one, how to think about who to date. One, as you consider others, look in the mirror first. Look in the mirror first, because this evaluation process can get real judgy real fast. And then we get on our high horse and say, well, they're not this, 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 and this. Whoa, look in the mirror first. Psalm 139 is a prayer. It says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. We need to be aware of our own self-righteousness and be an expert in extending grace. We need to be self-aware enough to say, God, would you search me first? Would you work some things out in my life before I get real judgy about anybody else? And then as it pertains to someone else, we don't know them. You don't know them, so extend grace. This is what it means to be a Christian, to extend to them undeserved favor. That's grace. So as we think about considering others and evaluating others in the dating process, before we get too far down the road, let's begin the process with actually turning it on ourselves. Because here's what I would hate to do, is say, hey, I'm gonna give you a list of some things to look for or be aware of or whatever, be leery of, but it's all external. Are we the person that we want them to be? If we're gonna hold other people to a standard of expectation, do we hold ourselves to the same expectation? Does that make sense? So as you consider others, look in the mirror first. Number two, think trajectory and let go of certainty. Think trajectory and let go of certainty. And I mentioned this a little bit last week. Whoever you're talking to, whether it's a friend or a date, they are not a finished product. They are a person in process. And so Philippians 1:6, Paul says, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. You will not date, you will not marry, and 20 years into your marriage, you will still be married to a person in process. God's not done with them. God's not done with you. Like if I look back, like my wife and I talk, we celebrated 20 years this year when we started talking about when we first started dating. And we just started laughing, so we're like, we are totally different people. I mean, totally different people from when we first met. We think about things differently. We view the world differently. We have new experiences that have shaped us and formed us along the way. And so as we think about dating and who we should date, we need to understand you are not a finished product and neither are they. Be an expert in extending grace. That God has begun a good work in them and he is working it out. He's gonna complete it. And maybe he uses you to help complete that process of maturing and growing, but maybe he doesn't and the relationship ends and that's fine. God is going to complete his work. You are not finished, neither are they. And so because of this, because you are not a finished product and you will not always see the world the way you see it now, and because they won't always see the way they see the world now, hold your preferences lightly, but hold your convictions firmly. Preferences come and go. They do. People get old. Skin starts to sag and get wrinkly real fast. All right? I used to be much better looking than this. So preferences, hold them lightly. That's fleeting. but hold firm to the convictions that we have as believers. How does God's word direct us? How does God's word encourage us to treat people, to view people? And what Philippians 1:6 tells me is that I need to view people that God loves and created as people in process, that God's still working to form and sharpen, instead of making some judgment immediately when I see them and I'm like, we're done. They're a person in process, so be expert in extending grace. Number three, how to think about who today is cultivate a discerning heart, not a judgmental heart. Because this is an evaluation process. And so it'd be very easy to become super judgmental. And our world that we live in is really, really good at this. This is what we do. We just judge. Someone says something, we get a clip and we make a judgment. They say the wrong thing one time, we cancel them. And so as Christians, that is not the gospel heart. The gospel heart is forgiveness, patience, that God's working it out in them. And so Psalm 24, verse 4 and 5 says, this idea of discernment, show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long, I put my hope in you. This prayer, this idea of cultivating a discerning heart requires an incredible amount of humility. Judgment and being judgmental requires zero humility. It's actually the opposite. Judgmental perspectives is prideful. It is, I know, therefore I can make a statement about that person that I barely know. This idea of discernment requires grace. It requires humility, and most of all, it takes time. Discernment requires time. Very rarely in my life have I made a discerning decision quickly. It takes a long time with a humble heart, asking God, would you search me and know me? Would you show me? Would you guide me? Would you help me see what I do not see? It's a self-awareness that I don't see things the way God sees them naturally. Number four, told you I was gonna move quick tonight. How to think about who you date is think follower, not attender. Think follower, not attender. Here's what I mean by attender. Anyone can attend the gathering. Anyone can come in this room. We don't check people's Christian card when they walk in. We don't. In fact, we want people who are not believers to come to the gathering. But you can attend anything that you'd like. What we want to do is think, who is an actual follower of Jesus? Who's actually walking with the Lord, responding to the Holy Spirit's convictions, and adjusting to the Lord? Who's actually doing that? Not aspirationally, we're really good at this as humans. Like one day I will do this. One day I will become self-disciplined. One day I will become whatever. No. That's an attender. Let's stop thinking about do they go to Christian stuff? And start asking, are they actually a follower of Jesus? Are they a disciple? Are they being taught by Jesus? Are they being formed by the Holy Spirit? Is this what they're doing? And so when I think about this, I think about that trajectory idea, okay? When I think follower, not like here, this is going back to that trajectory. Are they on a trajectory of becoming more like Christ? And again, this takes time. This is one of the biggest arguments that I can think of is why you should find a church home and stay there for a long period of time. Because when you pop around to different churches, no one ever gets to see your growth and tell you, man, I've seen you grow. Keep going. This is how I've seen God change your life, because no one ever knows you long enough to see the change. And so when it comes to this idea of trajectory, here's what I think about. It's like you may start right here and you may think, okay, I'm gonna date somebody and they're gonna be right next to me. But if you guys are 2 to 3% off in your trajectory, guess what's gonna happen over time? One person's gonna go this way and the other person's gonna go this way. And over time, the trajectory of their life is gonna naturally separate you. This is why it's important as a believer in Jesus Christ to date a fellow believer in Christ. Your foundation is the same. If you're considering dating a non-believer, what you're saying is I'm willing to date someone whose foundational belief system is not mine. And here's what's gonna happen. Someday, something will happen and you'll start to go like this and you'll be like, what's happening to us? We're drifting apart. Yeah, because your foundations are completely different. Are there wonderful people who don't know Jesus? Absolutely. Is that who we as Christians are supposed to be yoked with, connected with, married to for the rest of our life? No. The trajectory, what's their trajectory? That's that certainty idea, because we wanna know right now who they will be forever. And we just can't do that. We're people in process. So as we consider who should we date, who do you ask out? I'm a big fan of just increase your proximity with that person. This is probably a controversial statement, but I've seen it to be true. You can find most things about someone by being around them in a friendship. And you can probably have a really good idea if you guys are gonna click just by being friends. You don't have to date to find out about someone. You don't have to date someone to figure out what is their trajectory. Just increase your proximity. Get to know them, be around them, watch them serve, watch them not serve. Watch how they treat people, like all that stuff. So think trajectory, not certainty, because certainty really just tells us we want to be in control and we really just trust ourselves. But as believers, at least in word, we say we trust the Lord. We trust him with our eternity. Let's trust him with our dating life. He's got you. He loves you and cares for you. And so let's go to him. Teach me, show me, lead me, God. And again, I want to reiterate here as I go into this, the fruits of the Spirit here, is let's remember that before we look at someone else, let's turn the mirror on ourselves, okay? And so when I think about trajectory, probably the best measurement of that in my mind is to look at Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. All right, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So here's the filter. Let me give you a quick filter. Ask yourself first, are these things increasing on a consistent basis in my life? And then as you consider who should I date, because we date to get married, is are these qualities, are these fruits of the Spirit increasing consistently in their life? Because here's why I say this. Because that list of the fruit of the Spirit becomes, is developed, is produced in your life because you are planted in God's word, watching God's ways and living them out. We're planted. Remember, though, I talked about that potted plant last week? If we are planted in God's word, in his ways, trusting the Spirit, these will increase in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience. So let's go one by one really quickly. Love. This word is the word agape. It's that selfless love. That selfless love will increase in your life because of the Holy Spirit's activity. This word love is really the sum total of all the fruit of the Spirit. That wedding passage, 1 Corinthians 13:4-5, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrongs. You ever ask yourself why people keep records of wrongs? Because they want to bring it back as a weapon against you. So if you are currently dating someone that's doing that, you should probably peace out of that relationship because they're using it, your faults, your mistakes, not with grace, but with a hammer. Love, next one is joy. Joy is an inward state of being. Happiness is about outward things. Situations, circumstances are happy. Disney World, happy. When you go there, yes, let's do this, right? It's happy. It's a circumstance that will end. Joy comes from the Holy Spirit that is ungrieved in us. Peace. Peace is something that the enemy, Satan, cannot produce in our life. So anything about him, anything that he pushes us to and tempts us with, will not produce peace. We cannot manufacture peace. We try. We go on vacation, that kind of thing. So we try and produce peace. We try and get quiet by ourselves, go on a walk. But eventually, peace separated from the Lord is not lasting peace. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, peace. Jesus says, peace is found in him. And that peace is a fruit of the Spirit, that as we rest, as we root ourselves in God's word, in God's ways, and allow his Spirit to mold us, peace will be evident in our life in an increasing fashion. Kindness, this simply means integrity and the tolerance of others. Does it surprise you that being kind to people is a fruit of the Spirit? Being kind to people is the fruit and evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life. So we gotta ask ourselves, is the person I like kind? Are they increasing in their kindness towards others? Because this is the difference. Nice is an attitude. Kindness is a heart issue. I can be nice, but not kind. Because nice can be kind of a veneer. I mean, nice to you because it's good, it's gonna benefit me. Kindness is a heart issue towards people. Goodness is simply honesty and generosity. It looks like a virtuous person. It's that integrity idea that they're honest, they're virtuous. Is that an increasing value or fruit in your life? Faithfulness, that looks a lot like somebody who keeps their promises. Because God is faithful. And so God's Spirit will produce in us faithfulness. So the person that we're thinking about dating or the person you're dating that you're thinking about marrying, do they keep their promises? Are they faithful? And I'm not just talking like relationally or sexually faithful. I'm talking in the normal everyday stuff. Are they faithful to their word? Are they trustworthy? That's what faithfulness means. Are they consistent in demonstrating? Are they consistently growing in their faithfulness? Gentleness. This is the opposite of being harsh. It's the willingness to yield. What this looks like is being unruffled when your plans suddenly fall through. How do you handle when things don't go your way? You have plans and they get interrupted. What's the response? Is it harshness or gentleness? Then the last one is self-control. This is the self-discipline that we think about. Self-discipline with our temper, our appetites, our desires, our money, how we handle money. Do we have self-control? Can we not spend the money we do not have? Do we have self-control in our ambition, our lifestyle? Do we have self-control handling disappointment? Or does disappointment just take complete control of your life? And now you run the race to try and manipulate and control, right? Like, do you see what I'm saying? The fruit of the Spirit comes because we are planted in God's word and God's ways, and his Spirit starts to produce something in us that we cannot manufacture. And so the question then becomes, are you, as a believer, consistently growing and seeing an increase of this fruit in your life? Not because you're trying hard to be patient, but because you are becoming patient. Not because you treat people with kindness, but you're slowly becoming kind-hearted. Does that make sense? Because I tried for a long time, like, oh, the fruits of the Spirit, that's my checklist of good Christianity. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be self-controlled. And I'm gonna manufacture it, and that is exhausting. And what ends up happening at the end of that road is you realize, I can't do this. I'm a jerk. That's what I think thoughts about people that I should not think thoughts of, and I don't know where they come from. They just happen. I have attitudes for no reason. It's because I'm listening to myself, my hopes and desires, and I'm responding to the fruit of me. And so as we think about who we should date, the fruit of the Spirit is a really good thing for the long term to be like, are they growing consistently in these areas? Do I see more of this fruit in their life? Do you see it more of their life, in your life? And number five, how to think about who to date. Think marathon, not sprint. Think marathon, not sprint. Proverbs 13:20 says, the one who walks with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. I had a friend in high school. I love him to death, but he was an idiot. He just did stuff. You're like, what are you thinking? But you know what? He was really fun to have around. He was constant entertainment. Like just constant stuff happening. You're like, man, I can't believe, like he's the guy you tell stories about to all your friends now. You're like, oh, dude, I just, like he just do stuff and you're just like, oh my gosh. But we loved having him around. That's not how we think about dating. That's a sprint. I'm gonna date someone because they're a short-term solution to a felt need that I have, my loneliness, my lusts, whatever they may be. I'm going to use this person instead of serve this person. The marathon mentality, man, that is a whole different mentality. You train differently, you run differently, you eat differently because you know this is going to be a long deal. This is for the long haul. My daughter runs cross country and this year, like I love cross country. I was not a runner. I am not a runner. Never have been. But my daughter's actually pretty good at it. And I've learned the culture of cross country is fantastic. It's almost 100% encouraging. So, and you get to run around the course and yell at them as they run. And I was in this one particular part of the race this past fall, about a month ago. And I'm yelling for her, and her coach comes running up right next to me. So we're both yelling at her, encouraging her to go. And he said something that will forever stick in my mind. He yelled, stick with that group, they'll make you run faster. And as I thought about that, what was he saying? He's like, run with someone who's going to push you. Not run away from you and make you feel terrible about yourself, but someone that's just enough, they're going to push you and make you run faster. That's what he was saying. He's like, don't let go of that group. It's this whole idea of you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. It's this proverb, the one who walks with the wise will become wise. If you want to be wise, hang out with wise people. If you want to marry a faithful person, be around faithful people. Run with a group that will make you run faster. Don't fall back. Does that make sense? So then they ask the question, who is running in the same direction you're running? Who is running the same race that you want to run? So here's what we do. We run towards Jesus. We focus on Jesus. We find our hope and our peace and our joy in Christ, who Jesus says we are. And the cross of Christ tells you the value of who you are. You pursue Jesus, and every once in a while, look to the side and see who's running in the same direction at the same pace. Ask them out. Because they're running the same race. They're running the marathon. You start looking for those things. The last part of this marathon idea, I've never run a marathon. My brother wanted to do some brother bonding one time. We don't live in the same city. He's like, let's run a marathon together. I was like, what are you talking about? There's no bonding there. We're not gonna train together. We're not gonna race together. Like, we're just gonna be miserable together. So we didn't do that. But I know people that have run marathons and half marathons, and there's different sections of the course. There's different seasons of the course. And one of the things that I've learned in the last probably 7 to 8 years of my marriage that I was not intending, I didn't have these talks when I got married. God was very, very gracious to me, is that here's a litmus test. It's really easy to have fun on a honeymoon. It's really fun to go on vacation. It's really fun to go to the concert with somebody. Let me add one little filter. When it comes to this idea of marathon, in a marathon, there's going to be highs and there's going to be lows. Who do you want to experience the lows with? When you're at the bedside of a parent, who do you want to be crying right next to you? Who is going to strengthen you and remind you of who God is in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death? The mountaintop's easy. Fun, like marriage is super fun. In a lot of ways that you can't fathom as a single, I get it, but just trust me, it's awesome. But there are seasons of a marathon that are low. I just wonder how often we think, I wonder how this person will handle tragedy. I wonder how this person will handle difficulty. I wonder how this person will handle it if I lose my job and I don't have income for a year. Like, do you feel the tension there? Like, there's a depth there in the valley that you never experience on the mountaintop. And so that's why I'm always encouraging you, like, date for a while. Watch them in different seasons of life. How do they handle disappointment? How do they handle difficulty? How do they handle conflict? You can't know that unless you do it for a while. So be patient. Because my guess is most of you who want to get married, you want to do it one time. No one walks down the aisle saying, this is just my first. No one thinks that. They all think this is the one. And so why would we not think about who is it that I want to be attached to for the rest of my life? Who am I gonna run this race with? Who's gonna encourage me just enough when I'm tired? Who's gonna pull me along when I need it? Are they gonna let me pull them along? Are they gonna let me encourage them? It's a give and take. Proverbs 17:7 says, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. Who and what kind of person do you want next to you when you are walking through the valleys of life? Mountaintops are easy, but who wants the valley? So here's the thing, is we have, there's so many options, but what in the so what, we're gonna help you narrow the options, okay? We're gonna give you a really practical thing tonight to narrow those options. But I really don't think it's that complicated. To bring it down to one line, here's my one line. Be sold out for Jesus and find someone sold out for Jesus and go. I know there's nuance, I already said that, but that's really, when you come down to it, if they love Jesus, if they are a disciple and a follower of Christ, you know what? It's gonna be good. Because their lusts don't drive them, their insecurities don't drive them, their fears don't drive them. They are good because they love Jesus more than anything else. So let's get to the so what. I'm really excited for this because I'm gonna give you a tangible so what tonight. At the doors, when you go out, you're gonna get this tonight. It's a little deal with a little back. Here's what it is. This is a four-step process to help you narrow down the options, okay? So like if you walk into a CVS or a Walgreens, you're gonna see like 50 kinds of deodorant. This is the process to get it down to four. Instead of being like, whoa, that's got aluminum in it. I don't know, that one works 24 hours. Let's just give me four options, right? Now we're talking, this is simpler. So this is what this is. So we're gonna put up on the screen screenshots of what this is. I'm gonna walk you through it. Step one is simply gonna help you identify your core values. What are you looking for? How do you make decisions in life? What are the core things that guide your decision-making process? Now, this is not an exhaustive list of character qualities, but it's a start. Can you add to it? Absolutely. If there's something on there that you don't, you're like, well, I value this one, and it's not, then write it in, you're fine, okay? So you're gonna circle two to three things. You're gonna find out two or three core values that are like, when it comes down to it, these are the two or three things that are most important to me. That in a future spouse, this is how I'm gonna make my decision. Who I date, how I date, when I date, this is the filter. That's really what we're talking about here tonight in the so what, is the filter of making the decision, all right? Step two, and by the way, you're all gonna get this on your way out. They're gonna be on the table, so I didn't wanna give them to you because I didn't wanna lose you and you start filling stuff out, all right? Step two is we're gonna identify the non-negotiables. All right, this is that idea, like once you've identified your core values, this is gonna help clarify for you, what are those traits that you desire and want in someone that you're married to? Like, what do you want? Like, this is that preference part, okay? These are the like, man, I gotta have somebody that's like, I always hesitate to share this, but I'm gonna do it. Just know there's nuance. You're not my life. All right, so this does not necessarily apply to you per se. Formula people, don't get too hung up on this. When I was dating my wife, we got to that point where it was like, we're either gonna need to get engaged or break up. We've been dating long enough. She's wondering, I'm wondering, like I need, and I felt the pressure. I gotta make a decision here. Now she'll tell you a whole different story. Like I didn't do almost anything that I tell y'all to do. I was not clear ever. When she wanted to talk about future, like, no, we're not talking about that. She gives me a real hard time about it. She's like, you're such a hypocrite. I'm like, I know, I am. But it really, like, when you think about these core values, can we go back to the core value slide, that first column? If you look, there's three in a row that when I look back on my story, this is what I did. I was in a hotel room in Ohio visiting my brother. They had just had their first baby, but I had strep throat, so I couldn't be around. So I was just stuck in a hotel in Ohio. And I started thinking, like, am I gonna marry this girl? And I had this conversation before I had it on a piece of paper. And what I realized is, I thought, does she love Jesus more than she loves me? That's my number one. And the answer was yes, she does. She loves Jesus way more than she likes me. Number two, I thought, because I've always wanted to have kids. I was like, will she be a good mom? What's her trajectory? Will she be a good mother? I was like, yeah, I think she will. She loves kids. She's good around kids. I've seen her around kids. And then number three was, does she make me laugh? Because I grew up as the class clown. And I always felt like I had to make people laugh. And it was a lot of pressure. Class clowns, I'm sorry. It's a lot of pressure. You know, like, make me laugh, right? And I'm like, yeah, she makes me laugh all the time. Literally, I was like, all right, I'm going to ask her to marry me. That was it for me. Because unbeknownst to myself, I was identifying my core values. How am I gonna make this decision? All right, then the non-negotiables are like, hey, what would be nice? It'd be nice if, man, we had some common things in common. These are preferences, all right? Here's probably what shouldn't be on the non-negotiable is like, they need to be over 6 foot tall. Nope, that's not a non-negotiable. They are not in control of that. They need to make this much money. That's probably not a non-negotiable, right? Like you know what I'm talking about. The things that you're like, okay, good luck with that. Like that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about traits that you're looking for. So as you create this list, allow your core values to influence this list. Step three, then you organize your non-negotiables into three categories. The need to have, the nice to have, and the fun to have. Like these are the things I need to have. Of these 15 things, here's 2, 3, 4, 5 things that I have to have. These are non-negotiables, okay? For me, one of those with my wife was, I'm in ministry, and so a non-negotiable was for me, she'd be okay moving wherever God led us. That was a non-negotiable for me. Because I'm like, I feel called to be a pastor, and I have no control over where I go. And so I remember having the conversation, I was super nervous. I've shared this before, but like I literally asked her, I was like, if God calls us, and I thought, where's the worst place I could think of? I'm like, what if he moves us to Idaho? Sorry if you're from Idaho. And I said, would you be okay with that? She's like, if that's where God wants us, that's where I wanna be. I was like, oh, let's go, let's go, right? That was a non-negotiable for me. And so we break it up into need to have, nice to have, and fun to have. And by the way, throughout this whole, this should be a slow process. You should not finish this tonight. You probably should not finish this for a couple weeks. Pray about it. God, would you guide me, show me, lead me? Okay? And then step four, you take those non-negotiables, the need to haves, the nice to haves, the fun to haves, and then you do one more filter. What are the top five non-negotiables? What are they? I was talking with one of our staff earlier, and it's Oakley, you know her. And she goes, my friends and I have this, like the need to haves is like the batter of a cake. The nice to haves is the icing. The fun to haves is the sprinkles. I was like, that makes sense. If you don't have sprinkles, you're good. If you don't have icing, you're like, eh, yellow flag. It's a cake, but you know, doesn't have any icing. So the nice to haves are simply added bonuses. If they're missing some, not a deal breaker. But if they don't have any of the nice to haves, that might be a yellow flag. Like, whoa, hold on. Does that make sense? And so I want to give this to you tonight. We have like 400 copies. They'll be on the tables on the way out. You can get them right after, or you can wait after the panel. But here's the thing. This is a tool. This is just a tool. It does not guarantee anything. It just helps you filter out. What are you shopping for? What are you actually wanting to end up with? Do you know? This will help you just start to narrow down the scope of like, who am I looking for? What qualities do they need to have that I will not compromise on? Here's some nice things, right? Does that make sense? So we're gonna give that to you on your way tonight. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna go into 120 seconds. And here's the prayer that I wanna encourage you guys to pray. It's a simple prayer. God, would you show me? Would you lead me? And would you guide me? Show, lead, guide in this process. Because left to ourselves, some of us, we just don't make good decisions around this area. We're so lonely and we're so desperate that we'll just take whatever cake comes along the way. And then we're like, that's not the cake I need. So show me, lead me, guide me. We're gonna give you 120 seconds and then we're gonna finish up with a little bit of worship. And as Trayvon said earlier, then we're gonna take about a 10-minute break and we're gonna have our panel get set up and answer your questions. Let's pray. God, thank you that your word can guide us, even though it doesn't talk specifically about dating, it can give us principles to help guide this process. Holy Spirit, as we come before you and pray, would you speak to us? Each individual here, those watching online, Lord, would you speak to us? Would you give us peace in the midst of what can be a very anxious and fearful season? Would you help us to trust you more than we trust ourselves? Would you show me, would you lead me, and would you guide me in this process? Trusting you along the way. In your son's name, amen.